Now, there are many different kinds of visualization practice, many different levels of practice, many different levels of experience. There are many different Buddhas, many different Bodhisattvas, Dharkas, Dharkinis, Dharmapalas, which one can visualize. There's no time for details this evening. But the particular practices most widely current in the order pertain to Shakyamuni, whose visualization, by the way, we shall be doing this evening, to Amitabha, Padmasambhava, Avalokiteshvara, Tara, Manjugosha, Vajrapani, Vajrasattva, and Prajnaparamita. And every order member has, of course, his or her own individual visualization practice, the mantra pertaining to which they received at the time of ordination. And the relevant texts, as many of you know, are gradually being circulated as we can get them translated and duplicated. And I would personally like all the more experienced order members to be thoroughly familiar with at least two or three different kinds of visualization practice. And as you know, you might already have seen the photographs which are up outside the shrine room. As you know, we are hoping to have a meditation centre in Wales, in North Wales, at Tinny Dom. And when that place is ready, we plan, or we hope to have there, courses, short special courses in the different visualization practices from time to time. Meanwhile, we've been holding such courses occasionally elsewhere, whenever we could. We'll also be doing other visualization practices, apart from that of Shakyamuni, in the evenings before the puja, in the course of this convention. The general significance of visualization practice is particularly clear in, or comes out with particular clarity in, the case of the Vajrasattva sadhana. Vajrasattva is a Buddha appearing in Bodhisattva form. He's white in colour, white for purification. And here the purification is achieved, the purification is realized, or consists in the realization that, in the ultimate sense, one has never become impure. One is pure from the beginning, pure, if you like, from the beginningless beginning, pure by nature, pure essentially. And for someone, for anyone brought up in a guilt-ridden culture like ours in the West, this sort of statement has surely come as a great revelation, a great positive shock, that in the depths of your being you are pure of all conditionality. Or rather, that you are pure of the very distinction between conditioned and unconditioned, and hence you are void. Vajrasattva is also associated with death, not only with spiritual death, but also with physical death. I could say quite a bit more about this, but it isn't really the proper time to do so. I should like, however, to point out the connection here with the Tibetan Book of the Dead. In Tibetan, the so-called Book of the Dead is called the Bardo Todol, which means liberation by hearing in the intermediate state, hearing, that is to say, the instruction of the Lama seated by your erstwhile body and explaining to you what is happening to you after your death in the intermediate state. The intermediate state is intermediate between physical death and physical rebirth. But meditation itself is also an intermediate state. Because when we meditate, when we really meditate, meditate in the true sense, we die. And of course, in the same way, death, physical death, is a meditative state. Death is a state, we may say, of enforced meditation. of enforced samadhi. And in both intermediate states, the one between death and rebirth, and the one which occurs in meditation, in both intermediate states we can see Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, even mandalas of Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. And these are not outsiders. These are the manifestations of our own true mind, manifestations of the Dharmakaya. And we can, as it were, identify with them and thus be spiritually reborn. Reborn, as it were, in a transcendental mode of existence. If we don't succeed in identifying in this way, then we're simply reborn in the ordinary sense, that is to say, we fall back into the old conditioned self.